It never ceases to amaze me. God's timing somehow I also think he has a sense of humor. Pastor Mike has visited in my office the other day, and it's been some time back, and we were looking at the schedule through the rest of the year, through December, and he marked some weeks. He said, if you would like to take these and preach them, he said, that'd be cool. And I said, all right. So we kind of worked out this little thing where I have an opportunity to do that once in a while, and I love to do that. And I was looking at the next one that was coming up that was going to be my opportunity. Love your enemies. Now, whenever you're tasked with an opportunity like that, don't think for a moment that you're just going to sail through your week and not have an opportunity to experience something that's going to give you a little bit better context for your message. In other words, if Pastor Mike was going to stand here this morning and preach to you a message on patience, I would guarantee you that he would have had the most trying week of his existence. And so, having been tasked with loving your enemies, this has been a week for me. I won't go into the details and bore you with all that. And I will preface that, my message this morning, by saying this before we even get started. Not everyone is your enemy that you think is your enemy, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. The guy that cuts you off in traffic is not your enemy, all right? He's just trying to get somewhere quicker than you, okay? So let's not get wrapped up this morning in the enemy. Your enemy is not your spouse. I would have said amen and not chuckled. But anyway, I hope not anyway. Your enemy is not the person in the grocery store that counted your change wrong or rang your Wheaties up twice. That's an inconvenience, but that's not your enemy. This morning, the enemies that I want to talk about are the enemy is that one that is purposely trying to distract you or to sway you or to attack you in your Christian walk. Jesus is here on the mountain, and he has went up to pray, and he has chosen his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles, as we read earlier in the chapter. And we get down to Luke chapter 6. And starting with verse 27, I'm going to ask you to stand today one more time. Get the blood flowing as we read this together today. Luke chapter 6, begin reading verse 27. But I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Let's go on. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either, or your cloak, if you're reading the King James. Give to everyone who asks you, and from the one who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. Do unto others. You've heard that. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, What credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid. But love your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for just a few minutes that You would allow us to speak the words that You have given to us, and we'd have receptive ears, that we'd be able to use Your teachings from Your Word today to help us to be kingdom-minded individuals who will do the work that You have called us to do. And Lord, as we especially look this morning at what You said to us about loving Your enemies, help us to receive it and to apply it in our lives. And we'll give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat this morning. We see Jesus here, and He has went to the mountain to pray, and He's gathered His disciples, and now a crowd has gathered as they came down the mountainside there, and Jesus began to teach. Whenever Jesus opened His mouth and began to teach, it usually stirred some controversy. It usually ruffled a little bit of feathers. You see, a preacher friend of ours, a minister that we sat under early in our married life, he had a phrase that he used many times. Pastor Bill Johnson would say this many times. He would say, "People have always been people." Well, that sounds kind of cliche, I guess, in a way. But if you think about it, they have. We kind of think in our narrow-mindedness sometime of our surroundings or our lifetime, our generation maybe, or our parents' generation. But people have always been people. In other words, since God breathed life into Adam and Eve, and they lived, and they made the choice, and they fell, and now sin comes into the world through that, we've all pretty much responded the same way with a humanistic heart. An unregenerative heart responds a certain way. And Jesus is teaching these people, as He is teaching us today in the same way, in His Word, some radical ideas. Ideas that challenge the people of His time, and should, and I hopefully will, challenge us in our walk today. One of the things that we notice as we look at this scripture here, as we dive into this a little bit, as people, we are very quick to reciprocate love. In other words, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. We've heard that saying before, probably. And it's a natural response. A natural response. Do unto others as they do to you is a simple, it's a common response, but we change that a lot of times. And I think sometimes in my life, I have gotten myself to say, do unto others before they have a chance to do it to you. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe Jesus teaches do unto others. The Bible, and this is not a new thing. We find this concept back prior to that. Matter of fact, one writer I was reading as I was looking at this is possibly somewhere between 1500 to 1800 years before Christ. There were philosophers that were teaching the idea, the concept, do unto others as they do unto you. It's not an uncommon thing, but it's our concept of justice. You do this to me, and I will do this to you. We've heard the phrase, it's a dog eat dog world, and that has some merit there. In other words, we've taken it further. We've taken it to do unto others before they have a chance, and that's a sad place to be in our life, but many times that's where we're at. But Jesus called us beyond justice. We want to see justice. You know, how many, and I know this has happened to me, I've seen it, watched some YouTube videos that are kind of funny. I watched one the other day, and this guy was being very impatient in traffic. And you could tell, you know, he was right up on the guy's bumper, and he went over in the median, and he went around the stop traffic. And unbeknown to him, the car that was in front of him had tinted windows, tinted so much, in fact, that he couldn't see that little red and blue light on the other side of the window. And he swerved out in traffic, and he tried to fly down the median to get past everybody. And the gentleman in front of him happened to be an officer of the law. And he wasn't going to stand for that. So he got himself out in the median, and he went up, and the videos, you know, is like, I think they bill the videos as karma or instant justice, you know, and we laugh. Ah, he got what's coming to him. So many times as in our natural response to issues in life, we want justice. We want immediate justice. We want to see them pay now. And we will inflict that ourselves upon the person that does the wrong to us. But Jesus has called us beyond justice. Jesus has called us to show mercy. You see, Jesus saved us from getting what we justly deserve on the cross. He saved us from having to serve a death sentence for our sin. And if He showed us mercy, and if He gave us mercy, then we are called to live by His example. And how do we do that? We are called this morning, as the sermon series has titled it, to love our enemies. Well, what does that mean? Jesus said here, "But I say to you who will listen, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you." That's hard. Is it hard, Ann? It's hard. Is it hard, Pastor Mike? It's hard. Bless those who curse you. There is nothing that will take the wind out of your sails like being cursed at. It just makes you just feel, you know, what? Pray for those who mistreat you. Three very difficult challenges that Jesus gave there when He was speaking to the multitude. Kind of an interesting thing to note. It may not mean much to you, but it does to me. But when Jesus gave those three things right there, when He said, do what is good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, He is speaking to the crowd. He is speaking in a plurality of manner there. He is saying all of you. All of you. He's giving a general message to the crowd. You do these things. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. The second set that He gives us, He's given us examples, and the terms that He uses, the words that He uses, brings you into singular. He's bringing it distinctly to us. These are commands that He's given to us. If anyone hits you, turn the other cheek. I don't know what happens when you run out of cheeks. I've not quite gotten that far yet. You turn the other cheek, but if they hit you again, it's kind of tough. I'm not talking necessarily about physical blows. You grew up in little nursery school. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words will crush your spirit. Words spoken in anger, words spoken in hatred, retribution, those are things, words do hurt. And it's not necessarily that they come against you and hit you physically. They can assault you verbally, assault you mentally, and crush you. Where to turn the other cheek? Jesus says, you do it. If anyone hits you on the cheek, if anyone takes your coat, if anyone takes your things and doesn't give them back, you're not to ask for them back. Jesus is speaking to us. And this concept of love that He's using here, it's not warm and fuzzy feelings, but it's a words of action. It's agape love. Jesus is telling us here that we are to go beyond our natural inclinations, that we have to step out in a supernatural way and love. Jesus is teaching us here that we are to act in ways that benefit our enemies. That's difficult to even come to grasp. concept to grasp. I mean, it's one thing to, someone does something to you, it's one thing to say, well, I'll pray for them. Or I'll, you know, oh, bless their heart, they don't know any better. That's the easy way out. Jesus is teaching us that we're to act the way we're supposed to go beyond just a verbal thing or just a feeling, that we're supposed to act in such a way that we are actually concerned about the welfare of our... He wants your coat? Don't just give Him your coat. Go the extra mile. Give Him your shirt. Give Him what He needs. Make Him comfortable. Our enemies? Make our enemies comfortable? Yes. That's what Jesus said to do. It's not my idea. My idea wouldn't be that way. My idea would look a lot different, but Jesus is the one that we're emulating and following, not others. Through these examples that were given to us by Jesus, He clearly establishes that we are not to let enemies set the agenda. We're not to wait and see what they do before we react and before we decide what to do. We don't want to be caught in that vicious cycle of back and forth and back and forth. Instead, we are to seize the initiative by loving and doing good for those and blessing those and praying for those. Jesus drives this point home in verses 32, 33, and 34. Let me read them for you again. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? He says, if you do good for those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? If you love your enemies and do what is good and expect nothing in return, what good is that to you? Even the sinners do that for one another. Even the world looks out for their own. But why? Why are we supposed to do it? And this is the point this morning we want to drive to you. Verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies and do what is good, expecting nothing. Then your reward will be great. You will be the sons of the Most High. For He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil, but merciful, just as your Father is merciful. As children of the Most High, as followers of Jesus, been accepted into His kingdom, you realize that we are a child of the King. And if we do the things that He instructs in His Word, if we love our enemies, if we do good to those who hate us, if we bless those and pray for those who mistreat us, that we are acting as kingdom-minded individuals, that we are children of the Most High, and that our reward will be great. We'll be allowed to sit at His table to feast on the benefits that He has for us. That's the way I want to live. I heard a guy say one time, and it's true, having hatred towards someone, or being angry towards someone, or having that animosity towards someone, is like you taking the poison and waiting for that individual to die. When we treat those who treat us wrongly, it's hurting us. It's not hurting them. It's hurting us spiritually. We don't want to be in that place. Hannah Grace, come up for just a minute. So I could spend a long time this morning and just dissect this and read this out to you. But guys, these words that we've read today are in red. These are the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. This wasn't a concept that Pastor Mike came up with and says, I think we'll do this and this is what we're going to talk about. This is what Jesus said. Love your enemies. And I wasn't going to say anything, but I think I will, just because it's still on my mind. There's a lot of admonition here in these verses of what we're supposed to do to those who are our enemy. Probably going to get in some serious trouble here. That's all right. I live in trouble. 15 minutes of loving your enemies. What that looks like. Can I take just a second? Talk to the enemies. Don't be someone's enemy. I know the message this morning was love your enemies and what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love them and pray for them and care for them. And that's simple. That's easy. We got that. We're believers here. I think we can comprehend that. Tannerson. Military, and saw a picture of him in his uniform, proud of him, serving our country. Got to thinking about that uniform. A couple hundred plus years ago, it was a lot different. The blue and the gray. Easily identified. When we fought the Revolutionary War against the British, the red coats, easy to see, we knew. But as the enemy has become more stealth, as ammunition and machinery and guns and weaponry and airplanes and radar and binoculars and all those things have progressed into where we're at now, the enemy has become harder to identify. Used to be, we knew, we saw the red coat. Don't shoot till you saw the whites in their eyes. You know the story, you remember what you've read, you were probably there in some of your history lessons. But as we've progressed over time, the enemy has become more difficult. I remember like as a kid seeing someone in the army, and you knew they were in the army. You identified the fatigues. You identified the camouflage pattern. A few years ago, when technology advanced so far, now we have digital camouflage. So that it's harder for the enemy to be able to see you, to be able to see across the hillside. Very rarely do you see someone in uniform now, but they're not in desert fatigues. They're in a tan or a beige fatigue, because you know it's where we've modernized, and the enemy has kept pace. Used to be very simple to identify your enemy. It's a lot harder now. So getting totally off outlines and notes. Two things. Number one, as believers, know your enemy. They may be in your circle. They may call you friend, but they're in camouflage. Know your enemy. And secondly, this morning, if you are that enemy, if I am that enemy, stop. Just stop. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want you to be that person, someone else, or to me, or just stop. It's that simple. Ask Christ to forgive you. Ask Him to soften your heart. As believers, towards our enemies. That's what we need to do this morning as we wrap this up. We need to ask Jesus to soften our hearts towards those who are our enemies. Because only He can do it. It's not a 5-step program, a 7-step program, a 12-step program. It is the supernatural infilling of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life that allows us the opportunity to extend that grace and that mercy and that kindness and to pray for those. Jesus was on the cross and the people that were crucifying Him standing at the foot of the cross, and He prayed for them. He prayed for the very people who were getting ready to see the finality of the cross come to pass. He prayed for the soldiers that put the nails in His hands. Before He uttered the last words and said, "It is finished," He prayed for the one who was going to drive the spear into His side and draw the water and the blood. He prayed for them. He showed mercy on them. He showed compassion to them. "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." And to live in the example of Christ, to pray for our enemies, those who despise us, who hate us. It's our calling. It's not what Dave said. It's not what Sunday school teacher said. I mean, they might say it, but they're repeating what Jesus gave us as the example. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for the opportunity to come and to stand here in this pulpit. Thank You that Pastor Mike shares his time and, Lord, of his feeble attempt to say what in my mind is so many things. Lord, I pray as Christians here this morning that You would help us to show love, to show mercy, compassion and kindness to our enemies. Help us to know them. And Lord, if we today are being that enemy, I pray that You will convict our hearts to repentance for our actions. We're just going to pause for a moment. Hannah's going to play just for a minute. And this morning, if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, these altars are always open, and we would love to pray with you and lead you in that way. But also this morning, maybe you're fighting a battle. But Dave, you don't understand. You don't know what they did. No, I don't know what they did. God knows. And He can give you the strength to forgive and to show mercy and kindness to them. Maybe you want to pray this morning. Maybe there's another need this morning that we would like to take to the Lord. These altars are open. I'm not going to tarry for a long time. Just going to give you the opportunity to come this morning and pray if you want to. And we would love to gather around you and pray with you. So just bow your heads where you're at. And if God is calling you this morning to respond, this is your opportunity to do so. A couple weeks ago, Ann challenged us by thinking of someone to have in mind, and Pastor Mike preached the message, and I hope that you're continuing to do that, still thinking and praying for that one individual God has laid on your heart. Continue to do that. Show some love this week. Show a little kindness. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load, remember that song? Country song? You got to show a little kindness. Show a little blindness. Amen. Guys, it sounded a lot better in the shower this morning, but I didn't have a way to record it. So I hope something was said today that will encourage your hearts. Volunteer dinner this evening. And Pastor Mike needs to see the board for just a few minutes. Other than that, your smiling, beautiful faces are free to go.